Well, the last hymn was very appropriate because I want to speak tonight a little bit about the Word of God. So let's begin by going to Genesis chapter 2. Might be a strange place to start, but Genesis chapter 2. In verse 17, Genesis 2:17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And then over to the third chapter in verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. No doubt most of us, if not all of us, are aware of recent events with regard to hamburgers and the buying of hamburgers at the wrong place. Some people pay dearly for eating the wrong food. And you know, it's sober tonight to realize that what you eat can kill you. If you eat the wrong thing, it can kill you, and that's true spiritually as well as physically. We, at least in certain parts of the country, I'm sure they're avoiding Jack-in-the-Boxes and buying their hamburgers, at least for a little while. But it's strange, isn't it, that even spiritually sometimes we take in those things that are obviously just not profitable and in fact can be deadly. If it's not harmful for us, at least if it's not going to be something that kills us, it can be harmful to us. And if it's not harmful, there's a chance at least it may not be profitable. It's very possible to go through life and consume things that may not kill us and may not be harmful, but they're also not profitable. If you're like me, you like what is commonly called junk food. You like the chocolate-covered cream things and the chocolate candy and the corn chips and all those type of things. And we know that they don't kill us. At least I hope not. But if we were to diet on them, they would be of little or no value over the long haul. Let me just say, and let me just ask, rather, have you ever known a Christian? Have you ever known a Christian who is eating right spiritually to get spiritually sick? Have you ever known a Christian has a Bible that's just coming apart at the seams, is well-worn, is obviously a book that is lived in, and then see them get spiritually sick? I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but I think it's rare. I think a person who's eating spiritually well and eating out of the Word of God certainly stands a wonderful chance of not falling spiritually. And yet on the other side of the coin, if we take those who have fallen, it would be interesting to see exactly what their Bibles do look like and how often they have been used and whether they were eating properly. I read these verses to us because sin came into the world because Adam and Eve didn't eat right. They would prefer the forbidden fruit over God's word. And you know, sadly, even in Christendom today, and perhaps even in the church today, there are those who would prefer the forbidden fruit, would prefer the things of this world over the word of God. And even the church today, unfortunately, is replacing the word of God with many things that, at least outwardly, do not appear to be harmful, but I wonder if they have any nourishing value whatsoever. We might ask the question, what are you eating? And who are you feeding? What are you eating and who are you feeding? When I ask that last question, of course, the Bible clearly tells us that if we know the Lord Jesus, that doesn't mean we lost our old nature. And we have a new nature. And really, the objective should be for us, shouldn't it? To starve the old and to feed the new. For the one that is fed will no doubt grow and be active. So what are we eating and who are we feeding? Now the Bible exhorts us, I think, in various ways to eat right. With the Word of God, for example, Paul exhorted Timothy to study the Word of God, to be diligent, that's the word, to pay attention, to give it priority, to work at it, to handle the Word of God accurately so that we're not ashamed of the way we handle it. Peter tells us to desire the Word of God, just like babies desire milk. Paul told Timothy to preach the Word. In other words, it was the Word that Timothy was to feed to others. And I would suggest that in our assemblies, we want to be absolutely sure that we feed people right and that we feed them the Word of God. Because that's what's nourishing spiritually. And that's what builds up. And in our own individual lives, we want to pay attention. We want to work at it. We want to be diligent that we are in the Word and that we desire the Word. The Word of God is like a seed. You remember the parable of the sower. He was told, basically, he went out, the disciples went out and they were told to disperse, to sow the seed. Why sow the seed? What is there about a seed that would want us, would make us to sow seeds? There's life in seeds. If there was no life in seeds, why would we go out and sow seed? Why would we plant corn? And why would we plant a lot of things if there's absolutely no life in the seeds? And the only reason we are to sow the Word of God is because it contains life. It also gives life. Think of the Lord Jesus at Lazarus' tomb when he spoke. Well, that's also true of the Word of God. It gives life to the hearer. But it also sustains life. It's like bread. And so it contains life, it gives life, and it sustains life. And in our spiritual pathway, we need to be sustained. And we need the Word of God to sustain us spiritually. Let's go to Psalm 119. I just want to quickly mention four items of food that are used in the Word of God in reference to the Word of God. No doubt there are more, but I just want to bring these to your attention briefly. Psalm 119 and verse 103. Psalm 119, 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Here's one way in which the words and the Word of God is referred to. It is pictured as honey. Now, when we think of honey, we think of that which is sweet, as the writer here says, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I think the Word of God, when we come to it, should be enjoyable. You know, when we think of the will of God, for example, in Romans 12:1, the will of God is referred to as being good and acceptable. Acceptable. So often we view the will of God as that which is not acceptable. We view the will of God as that which is hard, which is restrictive, which suppresses us, which will take joy out of our life. But what we're challenged to do in Romans 12:1 is to prove the will of God, to do it, and to prove it, and to test it, knowing that it will prove to be not suppressive, not bitter, not hard, not harsh, but acceptable. And let me suggest with the idea here of honey and the Word of God, it should be acceptable to us. We shouldn't view the Word of God as that which is restrictive and hard, and come to it in that with that attitude and that idea. We should come to it with an understanding that the Word of God is acceptable. It's not harsh. It is that which should be sweet to us. David said, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. It's interesting in that verse he talks about the ordinances of God being more valuable to him than gold. And he adds, and yea, more fine gold. In other words, the best of gold. Then he goes on to say the same thing, and he says, honey and the honeycomb. Because apparently the honeycomb, the honey that drips from the honeycomb, is the sweetest compared to that which is forced out and pressed out. And when we come to it, we should come to it realizing here we have the sweetest. We have the best. We have that which is acceptable. And then if we go back to Matthew 4, we just want to note these, that the Word of God should be that which is acceptable and sweet to us, pleasant. In Matthew 4, this is where the Lord is tempted in the wilderness. And of course, his deity is challenged, verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered, that's the Lord Jesus, answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Here, the Word of God is being compared to bread and other portions of Scripture as well. We think of manna, for example, coming down from heaven. Bread would remind us that the Word of God should be a staple item in our diet. You know, we don't eat steak every day. We don't eat lasagna every day. We don't eat chicken every day. We're coming close, but we don't eat it every day. But you know, we probably eat bread every day. You see, it's an item that's part of our everyday diet. Bread. When I went to Portugal, when Nancy and I went to Portugal and we stayed with Brother Sobral, every morning we got up and walked around a couple city blocks and went to the bakery and bought the daily bread. You know, the Word of God should be like bread. It should be part of our everyday diet. There may be things in our life that we don't eat every day, but the Word of God isn't one of them. It should be like bread to our diet. It should be a staple thing. It should be a daily part of what we eat. It's basic to our diet and to our life. So it's like honey. It should be acceptable. Should be sweet to us. It's like bread. It should be daily to us. Part of our daily spiritual diet. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians 3:1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with solid food or meat, for to this time ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Hear the thought of meat and the Word of God. We think of meat, we think of that which comes with maturity. We don't take a young baby and start giving it steak. It just can't handle it. It can not only not chew it, it can't digest it. We don't take young converts and give them what we might call steak in the Word of God. We start with the milk. But we should progress to meat. a baby that wouldn't progress to meet, we would say there's a problem. And those of us who go along the Word of God, we should progress to where we eat meat. Not just a 3-minute daily devotion and reading of our daily bread and then running out the door. That's not meat. It means that we take in the Word of God and we chew on it and we think it through and we study it and we get into, quote, the heavier material as time goes on. We think of maturity. The Word of God is that which matures us. And as we mature, we should be eating meat, the Word of God. Now, I might say here, the thought of a carnal person. Too often, there are those who make a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, and there's never any change. And they continue to live in sin. And many times we say, well, they're just a carnal Christian. Carnality is not living in sin. Carnality means we think with the natural mind. Carnality means that we think as men would think. It is not to live in sin. It is in contrast to those who are spiritual, those who are thinking in line with the Word of God. And so as honey, it is to be sweet to us. As bread, it is to be daily to us. As meat, it is to be that which we progress in. Let's go back to 1 Peter, well-known verse there. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the pure or sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow by it. Now, at first, you might think Peter is classifying those to whom he's writing as babies. Paul just did that in 1 Corinthians 3. He said they were babies. They should have progressed to meat. They didn't. He had to feed them milk. They were like babies. But remember, they were babies when they should not have been babies. It is not so much that he's saying that they were babes here. He's saying just like newborn babies desire milk, you should desire the word. In other words, it is the natural thing for those who are God's children, who are newly born. And you'll notice verse 23 of chapter 21 is talking about new birth. And those who come to know the Lord, it is the natural reaction to desire the milk of the Word. Just as babies do it. And you know, you've seen, no doubt, a baby that is thirsty and hungry and screaming and kicking. And you put the bottle in his or her mouth and they just about suck the lid off. Why? Because they are thirsty for it. They're hungry for it. They're screaming for it. It's sad in our life, isn't it? As we go on and we get older as Christians sometimes. You know, if we were to ask ourselves, how much do I scream for the Word of God? How much do I, you know, make a fuss? How much am I actually hungering after the Word of God? That's the exhortation. That's what we ought to be doing. And so there are just four ways the Word of God is viewed with regard to food. Like honey, it's to be sweet. Like bread, it's to be daily. Like meat, we are to progress in it. And like milk, we are to desire it, just as a newborn baby does. And just as we think of those four, there's lessons that we can learn in our daily pathway with regard to the Word of God. But let me just say a few comments with regard to the importance of eating right. Eating properly, of course, is good for us. And as we've already noted, if we eat the wrong thing, it can kill us. And that's true spiritually. eating properly, of course, is very, very important when it comes to salvation. A person cannot be saved without the Word of God. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God is that which convicts. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that. It's living. It's able to pierce through. It's able to get down into men's hearts. It's able to convict of sin. In fact, 2 Timothy 3:16, when speaking of the inspiration of Scripture, tells us it's good for conviction. Isn't it the Word, then, that we want to give to the lost? If it is the Word that convicts, then it is the Word that we ought to be giving to the lost. You know, your Word and my Word do not convict. It's the Word of God that convicts. But it also not only convicts, it converts. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, in Romans 10, where it talks about the Word of God there, it's not actually the word for Scriptures, meaning that which you hold in your hand. It means a message that's preached about the Word of God. In other words, they have to hear the message that's contained in the Scriptures if they're going to believe. But when they believe that message, that gospel, that Word is the power of God unto salvation. So it is the Word that convicts, it is the Word that converts. Therefore, with regard to our witnessing, with regard to the taking of the gospel to the world, we want to be sure they get the Word. Unfortunately, today, there are many, many things being substituted for the Word, thinking that these things will do the convicting and the converting. And that's not the case. Now, it's important not only with regard to salvation. It's important with regard to sanctification. And I just want to list four areas in sanctification where the Word of God is important to our walk. First, right here in 1 Peter chapter 2, it is important with regard to our spiritual growth. We will not grow without the right diet. We will not grow without the Word of God spiritually. Now, verse 1 of chapter 2 are the things that we need to lay aside. These are hindrances to growth. Malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, evil speakings. They are hindrances to our spiritual growth. But if we want the positive, if we want that which will contribute to our growth, then it is the pure, unadulterated milk of the Word of God. Now, you notice, if you look at verse 3, it says, if so be ye have tasted, or since you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. In other words, the exhortation is this. You've already tasted that the Lord is gracious. And based on the fact that the Lord is gracious, as newborn babes, you should desire more of the Word of God. Have we tasted that the Lord is gracious? Have we experienced the sweetness of the grace of the Lord Jesus? If we have, then we should desire more of the milk of the Word of God, that we may grow. Milk is that which nourishes. It contributes to our spiritual growth. It's what advances our growth. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. You know, there are those things that are not sinful that we could feed upon, but they will not edify. They will not advance our growth. They will not contribute to our growth. I think much of what has come into Christendom has been that which, quite frankly, may have the facade of being spiritual, but it will not contribute to our growth unless it's based on the Word of God and is primarily the Word of God. It is the Word of God, when we consume it, when we take it in, and when we assimilate it, that contributes to our advancement in our spiritual life. If we're going to be more spiritual, if the Lord should not come, by this time next year, it's going to require that we eat right. It's going to require that we take in the Word of God. There'll be no growth without it. Turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that someone, that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of solid food. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongeth to them that are of full age or mature, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Not only does the word of God nourish us and advance us with regard to spiritual growth, it is the word of God that will bring maturity. And when I say maturity, I mean the ability to discern. One of the reasons that the Word of God lays out in its qualifications for oversight is the idea that the oversight or the overseer must not be a novice is because he must have experience. And with that experience, he gains the ability to discern. And that's true with the Word of God. If we're not eating the Word of God, if we're not taking in the Word of God, we will not grow, we will not advance in our spirituality, we will not advance in our maturity in the sense of our ability to discern good and evil. We want to mature as Christians, not only get older. You can get older without maturing. Probably told you the story of when I was in industry, I was sitting at my desk one day and my boss called me in. He said, "Congratulations, you're now a manager." And I said, "Can I ask a question?" He said, "Sure." I said, "Well, the man that works next to me has been the company for 30 years. And I've only been here a year. I'm just wondering why, you know, I'm the manager and why he isn't the manager." And he said to me, "Well, he has been here 30 years, that's true. But he really only has 1 year's experience 30 times. And for whatever that's worth, it stuck with me. Because it's possible for us to get older without maturing. And we want to be in the Word so that we not only advance, not only we grow, but we mature. So if we're going to grow spiritually, it's mandatory that we be feeding on the Word of God. Second, Peter says, desire the pure or sincere milk of the Word. Let me suggest that it's also important to feed on the Word of God, not only for growth, but for purity. For purity. David said in Psalm 119, 140, "Thy word is very pure." One of the things we can have confidence in the Word of God is this. It's not from the mind of man. It's exactly what Paul lays out in 1 Corinthians in writing to those who thought themselves to be wise, you know. He said, "Which all things also we speak, not in the words which men's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, when we pick up the Word of God, we have that which is absolutely pure. It has no influence. It did not come from, and it was kept from any influence of the natural mind. Man's wisdom is not involved in putting the Word of God together. And that ought to be something that gives us great comfort to know that we're not handling the polluted Word of God and corrupted Word of God. There isn't interwoven through this Word man's ideas, man's thoughts, man's opinions. Because the natural man does not think after the way God thinks, and we know that. If we just look at the world, look at our own life, look at the Word of God, we see that they're just contrary one to the other. In the world today, being big is in, but in the Word of God, quite frankly, you'll never find the majority as being right. It's the minority in the Word of God that's right. You'll find in the Word of God, in the world, it's power. In the Word of God, it's those who are weak. It's the meek that inherit the earth. And so the natural mind is not in harmony with the Word of God because it's not in tune with God. And so we're handling the pure Word. And that pure Word should cleanse our walk. As we're in the Word, we're not only growing and advancing and maturing. It should have an impact on our cleanliness of our walk. We're well, I think, aware of the verses. And let's go there. Psalm 119 again. Psalm 119, verses 9, 10, 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word, verse 11, have I hidden in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. It is this clean word that when we take it in, produces a clean walk. The Lord Jesus was speaking about being cleansed to his disciples in John 10. He told them, of course, you remember, if they were washed all over, they wouldn't need to be washed again. John 13, I'm sorry, verse 10. He said, if he that is washed needeth not except to wash his feet, there's the walk of the believer. We're walking through a defiled world, a corrupt world, an immoral world. And just by being here, just by walking here, our walk becomes defiled. How are we going to wash up our feet? By the Word of God. It's pure. It's perfect. And as we are in the Word, we are cleansing ourselves from the pollution that we come in contact with daily. The Lord prayed, you remember, in John 17, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. What's going to set us apart from the world? When we feed on the Word of God, we think different. And we are different. If we're not feeding on the Word of God, it isn't long before we're thinking just like the world. The world's ideas, the world's philosophies, all those kind of things, the world's values, the world's priorities, the world's judgments, they all become ours. They just press upon us. And so we need the Word of God for the purity of walk. Think of the Lord Jesus there being tempted in the wilderness. When those temptations came, what did he say? It is written. Immediately, the Word of God comes to the forefront. And it is the Word of God that he quotes and with regard to those temptations. And so it ought to be in our life that as we feed on the Word of God, it not only causes us to grow, but it has a purifying effect on our life. Thirdly, stability. You know, Ephesians 4 tells us that there have been gifts given to the church. And it lists those gifts and their workings, but this is the objective, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. A person who isn't grounded in the Word isn't stable. a doctrine comes along, a teaching comes along, an opinion comes along, the spirit of the age comes along, and they're blown back and forth, and there's no stability. But when we're in the Word, when we're feeding on the Word, there is stability. Think of Psalm 1, the blessed man who doesn't walk according to the counsel of the ungodly, and so forth, who meditates in the law day and night. It says, "In his leaf shall not wither." Circumstances don't impact him, do not impact him. He's not subject to the winds. And you know, when we're feeding in the Word of God, we're stable. Writing to the church of Philadelphia, John said, well, the Lord Jesus actually said, well, you're small, but one thing you've done, you've kept the Word. And they were stable. They may have been small, but they were stable because they had kept the Word. And so as we go through life, you remember the Lord Jesus in Matthew 7 talked about those who build their house, or the man that builds his house on the sand. There's no stability there. But the man who builds his house, who builds his life on the Word of God, there's stability. When the trials of life come along, when the things that normally would crush us come along, those who are resting and building their life on the Word are stable. I just had the experience of doing a funeral for a child that died at birth, of a young couple that you may know. As we stood on a very, very extremely cold hill looking over the city of Reading with snow blowing and a little box about this big sitting on the ground, it would crush us normally, wouldn't it? But this couple was grounded in the Word. I'm not saying they didn't sorrow, but the way they viewed that situation was totally different than the world would view it. They were stable because they're grounded in the Word. And you know, doctrines may come along, circumstances may come along, and if we're not grounded in the Word, we will be blown about. So it's important for our growth, it's important for our purity, it's important for our stability, and it's important with regard to our fruitfulness, if we're going to have fruitful lives for the Lord or not. You know, if your life is going to have anything productive for God, it's mandatory that you be in the Word. It's mandatory. Because you see, in Psalm 1, that man that meditates is the one who produces fruit in season. It's like feeding the tree. It's the fertilizer. It's that which energizes. And if we're going to have fruit in our lives, it's going to have to come from the Word of God. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Just close with this thought here in Colossians 3. Verse 16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Here's the thought. Let the Word concerning Christ dwell in you richly. In other words, really take it in. Allow it to have its effect. Meditate on it. Think on it. Then he adds, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Let me suggest a pause there. Let me suggest that we don't just go rushing on and saying, yes, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. No, it's in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. You see, the Word of God goes in. But notice what comes out. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's what comes out. The Word goes in and the praise comes out. And if we're going to have that which is productive, that which is profitable, that which is enjoyable to the Lord, that which is honoring to the Lord, it's going to require that the Word go in. If we're not saved tonight, it's because we haven't received the Word by faith. If we're not growing, if we're not advancing, if we're not maturing, then our diet isn't right. If our walk is impure, it's because we haven't hidden His Word in our hearts. If we're unstable, either in doctrine or circumstance, we are not edified by the word. We are not built up. We are not rooted. We are not grounded in the word. If we're unfruitful, if our lives are not productive, then we're not allowing the word to penetrate and to have its rightful sway in our lives. You know, what you eat may kill you. What you eat is going to determine, quite frankly, what our spiritual lives really are. Whether we're growing, whether our life is pure, whether we're stable, whether we're fruitful, it's going to require us to be eating right. So the question we can leave with tonight is, what is my spiritual diet really like? What am I feeding on spiritually? You know, I don't think there's anyone here who would doubt that if we went back 30, 40, 50 years ago and sat amongst the Christians, that their depth of knowledge and their appreciation of the Word of God and their appreciation of the Lord would be greater than ours today. And I'm convinced there's a reason. It was their diet. They didn't have the cars to speed them all over the face of the map we have, to run them here and run them there. They didn't have the TVs and everything else to occupy their time and eat up their time and to feed them, quite frankly, poor spiritual food. They sat and they enjoyed the Word. And they were in the Word and meditating on the Word and talking the Word and thinking the Word. And that's why I think sometimes we pick up their books today and we say, boy, this is heavy stuff. And we say, you know, this isn't relevant for today. You know why? Because they were just so far ahead of us, I honestly believe. Because they just lived in the Word. They had a diet that was so rich with the Word of God. And if we're going to be profitable, we're going to be productive, we're going to be those that grow, we have to be in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Gracious God and Father, we thank you tonight for your word that you have preserved for us. We're thankful that it's pure. We're thankful that it's divine and holy. And Lord, we pray that we might just be challenged tonight with regard to our spiritual diet, with regard to how much of the Word of God we are taking in, how much of it we are eating and digesting and allowing to contribute to our growth and to our maturity. Lord, we just pray tonight that in a world that calls so much for our attention and for our time and would feed us so much that is not only not spiritually good, but is quite frankly spiritually bad, we pray, Lord, that we might just redeem the time and take time to be in the Word, to feed on the Word of God, that we may grow thereby. We commit our time to Thee. We thank Thee for each one present. We thank Thee for their willingness to come out and to sit under the sound of the Word. And we pray that you would bless it to them and that this evening will be used in their life in a profitable way. So we commend all to Thee now as we pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.